Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Hopefully everybody had a nice break, nice Yom Tov. As someone mentioned, today is the second of the year, which is the Yom Tov of my grandfather, my father's father. It's been quite a while. I was just under Bar Mitzvah when he was Nifter, but I do have very fond memories of my grandfather. Someone who to me was always a positive person. I knew him as a sweet old man. I'm sure there were times when he was younger. And I heard stories about him that he was Moshe Nefesh for Shabbos. He tried to start a business, and when his partner insisted that they open up for Shabbos, so he pulled out of the business. So I think maybe it's even appropriate that this morning we can be after Shabbos Shir. This morning's topic is the Melacha of Dash. And the Talmud and the Halachas have come with that. Dash translates as threshing, which in our day and age, where the way we get our bread is we go to the store and we buy it, it's not so practical that we're actually going to come across the halachic version of the daraisa of Av Melacha, of Dash, the real original threshing. But we need to know what that was in order to understand what the Melacha is all about. Wheat, for that matter, grain, grows on a stalk, and it has a husk around it, and the grain has to be separated from the stalk, and then the husk, the peel, has to be taken off. The way that was done in a commercial manner, meaning when they did it for a large amount, was that they got animals to step on the grain. There were times they would tie a heavy log behind the animal, and the animal would pull that log over the grain, and that way it would crush the husk, and instead the seed, the grain on the inside would be separated, and after they would do winnowing, which they would throw the collection into the wind, and the wind would blow away the lighter husks and the heavier grains would fall, and that way you'd separate them. The dash is the breaking open of the husk and the taking out the food from the non-edible peel. Now, although we just until now we've been talking about boyer is separating the good from the bad, or the bad from the good, where you take the bad out and you make the good better. This is a slightly different version, and in fact we have to be careful because there are times where something which would be usur because of dash, and sometimes if it's not dash it could still be a problem, could be a problem with boyer. But there is a difference between dash and boyer, not only in the definition of the halacha, but also boyer, we learned, has exceptions to the rule. Boyer, if you do it, that you take the food from the unwanted, from the ocha, from the psoilis, and if you do it by hand and not with the aid of a utensil, and you do it for immediate use, then it's considered a derech achila, through the form of needed to be eaten, and therefore it's not considered a melacha as a preparation for something further. Whereas dash doesn't have those halachas, and therefore does not help to do it by hand or to do it to do ocha mitach tzolis. We will see that there are certain exceptions, such as when it's done derech achila. We'll get to soon. We'll discuss it when we get there. So this is the basics of the halacha: is when you have food inside a non-edible shell and you're removing the food from the shell, so that would be the problem of That would be the problem. That would be the melacha of Dosh Shabbos. This would apply also if you have a legume that is inside a pod and it's connected to the pod. So then if you remove the connection of the legume to the pod, then that will also be considered as a problem of Dosh. If you, if they were pre-disconnected and now you're just taking them out, that would not be a problem. Or if the pod itself is edible, like something like you have green beans and take the beans out of the pod where the pod is also edible, so then it would also not be a problem of the dosh, because it's considered as ochel mitoch ochel, food from food and not food from an unedible part. The third thing to mention about dosh is that taking a liquid out of a solid is considered also as dosh. When you squeeze a solid, and you're now removing what you consider the food, you leave behind the solid waste, then we're calling it waste for the matter of this halacha. We will see there are exceptions also here. Then that will also be considered as dash. So that's going to be the point that we will discuss today, and that is squeezing. Now we're going to divide our fruits and vegetables into two categories. There actually is a third one, so maybe we'll mention all three. Number one is fruit and vegetables that are grown for their juice, which I'll be the Gemara. There is only two examples of that, and that is zeisim va'anavim, olives and grapes. The Torah refers to olives and grapes as tirosh v'yitzar. The point of growing an olive is for its oil, and the point of growing a grape is for its wine, and that is the main reason why these fruits would be grown. There happens to be a certain amount of olives and grapes that are eaten on the side without being processed, without being squeezed, but essentially this is the main purpose of zeisim va'anavim. Other fruits, sometimes you squeeze, sometimes you don't, but a lot of them are to be used in their solid form, and therefore we don't consider them as purely for the sake of juice. Therefore, if you squeeze them on Shabbos, it would only be an Isur Derabanan. The third case, which is not so discussed, because it's not so practical, especially in our day and age, are things that are never squeezed for the juice. If a person would take them and then squeeze them for their juice, so that would not be an issue on Shabbos, that is not considered the norm. So now that we've divided into the different groups, we will still say that squeezing them is considered also Shabbos. One does not squeeze fruit on Shabbos, whether it's done by hand, whether it's done by with the aid of utensil, whether it's done for now or for later. All cases of squeezing fruit on Shabbos is asur. As I said, in certain cases, like when it is totally never used, never squeezed, and then a person squeezes it, that would be the exception to the rule. Now, as I said, the reason why we consider schita, squeezing, a tolda of dash, is because you're removing a liquid from a solid. But if for whatever reason, you would be removing a solid from a solid, I'll explain in a moment what that means, then you're not really taking it out and changing its properties from a solid to a liquid. So how would that be done? Is if you squeeze something and the liquid that comes out immediately goes into food. It never sits for us in a situation of liquid. So if you would squeeze something and then it would go onto food itself, then that will be permissible. So to squeeze a food and let the liquid fall into more liquid, or let the liquid fall into an empty vessel, that would then be squeezing liquid from a solid, and that will be also a Shabbos. But if you squeeze it onto food, either you're... either it's been squeezed onto the food, for the sake of that it gets absorbed into the food. If you have an absorbent food and you want to squeeze some liquid on it to make it wet or something like that, or give it some flavor, that would be one way where the liquid is absorbed in the food. And the halacha is that it must be at least most of the liquid. If there's a little bit, you don't have to be precise. If a little bit of liquid remains in liquid form and floats on the side, it's not a problem, but it's got to be that most of the liquid is going to be absorbed. Or the second example would be that it comes to improve the food. To take a piece of fruit and put it into a liquid is not considered as skit on Shabbos. That's not a problem. It's not a problem of taking the food itself and putting it into liquid, even though possibly liquid would come out. So if you have a cup of tea and you want to put in a slice of lemon, obviously we're talking about in cases where there wouldn't be bishul, either the tea is not hot enough to cook or it's already a klishlishi, then you put your slice of lemon into your tea, or it's iced tea, then that will be permissible. But don't take a spoon and squish the lemon against the side of the cup, forcing the liquid to come out of the lemon, because that would be considered a squeeze. But to just place it there wouldn't be a problem. Now, there actually is a machlokes whether squeezing onto food is permissible on Shabbos. The accepted psak is that it is permissible, but because there is an opinion, it's one of the Rishonim, it's Rabbeinu Hananel, because there is an opinion that squeezing even onto food is asur, so we're going to limit this only to those things that are asur midrabbanon and not those things that are asur min haTorah. That's why I started off and I separated the squeezing into two categories. There are those fruits which are, their purpose of being grown are for the sake of Jews, and that's our pre, the halacha is zeisim va'anavim, olives and grapes. And, or everything else is usually for eating and therefore, not considered as, therefore it's only a derabbanon. And when you have a machlokes and rabbanon, you can go lukula and a doraisi go lechumah. So when it comes to grapes, for example, and olives, not so practical if you're going to be squeezing them, but if a person wants to squeeze grapes, so we're going to say that even if you squeeze them onto food, we should be machne not to do it. But lemons is fine, so lemons you can squeeze onto food. An example of squeezing a lemon is you can squeeze lemon onto sugar. That's considered a solid sugar, even though it's going to eventually dissolve. But at the time that you squeeze the lemon out, it is a solid. You can squeeze lemon onto cheese, for those who do that, or onto a schnitzel, onto a fried fish, something like that. That's considered as a solid. Now also, we said that it doesn't have to be that the liquid is absorbed. It can also be that the liquid is there to improve the taste solid. So if you're putting, you're making a Mediterranean salad dressing, which is olive oil and lemon juice. So when you put your, make your salad dressing and you want to have freshly squeezed lemons, you can squeeze your lemons directly over the salad, even though you know that the lettuce leaves are not going to absorb the lemon, but they pick up the lemon flavor, and this is what we call improving the taste of the food. It's called metake, it mixes up the food, and therefore it's permissible. It's considered as food going into food and not changing into a liquid. Again, you don't have to be precise in the amount of lemon that you put in to make sure that there's no drop to extra. You put in what's considered normal, and if there's a little bit more, it's not a problem. Now, the gabe, squeezing your lemon onto sugar. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you can take your lemon, you can squeeze it onto sugar, and then you can take that sugar and throw it into water, and now you have lemonade. According to the Mishnah Berurah, that's mutter, even though what happens is that eventually you see that the liquid that was squeezed out of the lemon ends up in the liquid. But at the time that you did the malacha, then you're squeezing it onto food. And we said that when it comes to squeezing, if you squeeze liquid into a liquid, it's also, but if you squeeze liquid onto a food, so since it's going from food to food, it doesn't really become a liquid in between, so then it's considered mutter. And now therefore, sure.
If you're making out fruit salad, you're cupping out fruit, and one of the fruit you cut up is orange. Then orange is very juicy, or you have a little bit of juice left, and you squeeze that onto the fruit.
Yes, because you're squeezing your orange in order to give taste to your fruit salad, and therefore that's considered as squeezing a fruit onto food and not onto liquids.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way you can squeeze your lemon onto your salad, you can squeeze your orange onto your fruit salad.
Okay, thank you.
I just mentioned that the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that if the eventual use of the squeezing is for the sake of a liquid, then one should be machmir. And also the Mishnah Berurah says that you can squeeze your lemon onto sugar and put the sugar into water, make yourself a lemonade. And Chazon Ish is better that you should not do that if that's the final product. Now there's another din in squeezing, which makes squeezing permissible on Shabbos, and that is when the squeezing is done to improve the food and not to extract the juice. Usually you squeeze an orange because you want orange juice, you squeeze a lemon, you want lemon juice. But there are times when you will squeeze a food in order to improve the food because the liquid inside has made it soggy or whatever it is, and you don't want it. The cases brought in the halacha are cooked vegetables that you squeeze out the excess liquid, or a pickled fish where you want to squeeze out the brine that it's been pickled in, where the squeezing here is done for the sake of the food, and the liquid gets, as of now at least, discarded. So it's not done for the sake of the liquid, so then you say that's not considered dash. Dash is when you remove the liquid from the food, not when you improve food, and it happens to be there's a byproduct called liquid. So if a person has fried food, for example, and it is overly oily, and you want to squeeze it out in order to get the, so it should be less oily, one may actually squeeze your schnitzel or whatever, your fried vegetable, whatever it is, in order to get out the excess oil in order to the food to be better. What's interesting is that when you do such a thing, if you're squeezing out your cooked vegetable, your pickled cucumber, your fried schnitzel, whatever it is, and the liquid gets caught in a utensil after when you squeeze, later you may use this liquid as well. As long as the purpose that you did the squeezing was for the sake of improving the food, then it is permissible. Afterwards, now you want to use the byproduct. You have extra oil lying around, you want to use it as a salad dressing, whatever it is, so you may use it even though it was, had you done it for the sake of the oil, it would be awesome. Since you did it for the sake of the food, the byproduct is mutter. Another example of this halacha would be is dipping food into liquids and then squeeze and then sucking the liquid out of the food. So you would have, for example, bread. You want to dip your bread into something, whether it be soup, which halachically you can dip your bread into because the soup is a shlishi or it's not hot anymore, or as some people do, you have a wine spill on the table, you may take your bread to absorb the wine, and then you can suck the wine out of the bread. That is not a problem of schita on Shabbos. There's a separate problem, and that is that one should not use bread as a sponge. It's a halacha that applies during the week, not just Shabbos. And therefore, if one does this, one does use bread to absorb liquid, then when one sucks the liquid out, one should eat a little bit of the bread at the same time. And that means that you're doing it for the sake of the bread, and not just using the bread as a sponge. But that's a separate, that's a halacha in bread, it's not a halacha in chalice. When it comes to sucking the juice out of fruit, and then it's this, the removal of the juice is done by the mouth and not by hand. So then again, we have a machlokes over here, whether this is permissible or not. And like we said before, when we have a machlokes, so when it comes to the rabbanon, we say the kula, when it comes to the raisis, we say the chumra. And therefore, to allow such a thing, we're going to say will be mutter with all those fruits that are not daraisa, meaning they are not dated by nothing. And those things which are the rabbanon, everything else, one may do it. Therefore, you cut an orange into quarters and you want to suck the juice out of the quarter of the orange. You may put it partially in your mouth and suck out the juice. What one has to be careful is that you don't use your fingers to push from the outside. If you put your fingers and push from the outside, then that's considered as squeezing the fruit. But rather, it should be the juice should be sucked out by your mouth. And then it's considered derech achila. This is an exception, as I mentioned before. We're going to mention that there is an exception of derech achila in squeezing, and that would be this: that when the fruit is when the juice is sucked out of the fruit directly. Again, as I said, you've got to be careful that it should be purely down by the mouth and not with the aid of the fingers. And we're going to say that this applies to those fruits which are only asur d'rabbanan and not those fruits which are asur d'oraisa. However, once something is fully in the mouth, then the halacha doesn't apply anymore. And even a grape, if you're eating grapes, once it's in your mouth and you decide you want to suck up the juice before you chew it, before you swallow the pulp, that's not a problem whatsoever. You may put the grape fully in your mouth and then suck out the juice. And what we're saying is also in the grape is if you hold the grape outside your mouth and then suck out the juice, you hold it in your fingers and you use your mouth to suck it out, that you should not do with a grape, but you can do it with an orange or a grapefruit or whatever the case may be. Now, we have another point to discuss is what's the din with what we call mashkin shezavo me'aleim, liquid that has flowed from a pile of fruit. In other words, it was not pressed on Shabbos, either it was pressed before Shabbos and was left in the press, or perhaps it was just the fruit was very liquidy and liquid came out of it. What would be the din of such fruit with the liquid? So Chazal tell us that essentially no malacha has been done, and therefore, strictly speaking, the liquid that comes out of a fruit without me pressing it should be mutter on Shabbos. The Chazal made a gzera that if I allow a person to drink the liquid, I'm afraid he will come to squeeze it. So therefore, they asked us to drink the liquid, but then we have to understand what is the issue of squeezing. Because when Chachamim make a gzera, they make a gzera that stops us from doing something in order to avoid us doing a melacha d'oraisa. But Chazal usually, not say always, but Chazal usually don't make a gzera to stop us from doing another d'rabbanan. The d'rabbanan itself is a gzera. So ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. We don't make a gzera on another gzera to make sure that you don't do the d'rabbanan. Therefore, this issur of drinking up the liquid that has flowed by itself will only apply to something where its squeezing will be a d'oraisa, will be a halachic prohibition, and not just a d'rabbanan. Therefore, as we pointed out, grapes is also mid'oraisa. So if you put grapes into a press on Erev Shabbos and the liquid has been flowing all through Shabbos, one may not drink that grape juice on Shabbos because we worry that a person might come to then squeeze grapes themselves. But if you put oranges into a press and the liquid before Shabbos and the liquid came out on Shabbos, so oranges is not a problem of squeezing midoraisa, it's only midrabanan, so we ain't goes with xera, we don't make a double xera that we put a drabanan on top of another drabanan, therefore it will be permissible to use that juice. It's interesting. Recently, as recently as Chol HaMoed, our family went on a tiyun, and we went to a place not far from here called Beit Guvrin, which was once upon a time called Moresha. Beit Guvrin, originally, I think in the times of the first place of Middash, was a Jewish town, and later was deserted, and late after the Churban Bais Rishon, it was occupied by Edomim, Goyim, from the south, and after that it was known as a Goyish town until its later destruction way much later, and on and off, so pretty much the rise of the Ottoman Empire, there were people that lived there, but basically Goyim. So most of the archaeological finds that they made there are not from Yidden, and therefore they don't reflect the way Yidden did things. For example, when one sees the burial caves that they have there, they are not dug in the halachic way of the way they should be divided into chambers. Also the wine presses and olive presses, most cases in this country when you find them, they always come with a mikveh next to them because people wanted to make it the tahara. So before the olives or the wine was pressed, the people went to the mikveh, and then that subsequent wine or oil could be used. The taro could even be used in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore you always, not always, but generally see in the old days when they have something for the times of before the Churban, there's usually a mikveh next to it. Here there was no mikveh next to it because it was for Goyim. But the procedure that was done is pretty much the same by the Goyim and by the Yidden. And one of the things we saw was an olive press. And the way they pressed their olives was they first ran them through a mill where you have a grinding stone, something that probably anybody who's been around here knows well for a little while has seen them. There's even one in the Ayalon Park. You had a round stone with a groove in it, and then you had a wheel on top of that which was connected with the beams, and then usually connected to an animal which walked in a circle and got the wheel to turn and went through the groove in the bottom flat stone, and the olives which were lying on the flat stone got crushed as the wheel went round and round. But that was just the initial crushing. Once the olives had gone through the initial crushing, then they were put into sacks, or they were put into baskets, and then a press was put in there. There were two different types of presses. The one that we saw was they had large beams that were put into a indent in the wall on the one side. Then the bags of crushed olives were put underneath the beam. And then the other side of the beam, which was now suspended in the air, was loaded with weights of stones. And this way, you had a tremendous leverage pressure over the olives, and this pressure would be left for a couple of days, and that would push all the liquid out, and you'd have the olive oil would flow out of the olives. The other way would be they put it into a slotted basket, meaning the basket has slots around the side, and a lid would be put on top of the basket, and then you'd have a screw top, something similar to a corkscrew, which would be screwed in, and as it was turned, the screw would put pressure down on the lid. Again, that would be a way of forcing, putting it under pressure, and then the liquid would come out. So when we saw this, it reminded me of the halacha that's brought down in halacha. It says, "Toinin koris beis habad be'erev Shabbos." You can place these kairos, these beams of the face of Bath, of the pressing place on Erev Shabbos, even though the liquid is going to come out the whole of Shabbos. Meaning, as we've said before, that to do an action before Shabbos, even though the result of the action will end up being a malacha on Shabbos, and the malacha will take place on Shabbos, but since the maaseh that you did, the action that you did was done on Erev Shabbos, it's permissible. So you can open up a water channel on Erev Shabbos. As long as on Shabbos you don't do anything, even though the water is going to run the whole Shabbos, water your field, which is an issue zareah, it's done on Erev Shabbos, it's not a problem. Same way you can cook your raw food onto the stove, and it will cook on Shabbos, it's not a problem, except for the fact that they'll be worried that you might have to start the fire, and therefore you've got to cover the fire, whatever the case may be. But mitzad the halacha bishul, what you do on Friday is not asur, even though the actual malacha takes place on Shabbos. But what we do say over there is fine, you can put, you turn the kohen space of bad on the Erev Shabbos, you can put the olives underneath the heavy locks, heavy beams, and get pressed, and you can do that already on the Erev Shabbos and let the oil flow out through Shabbos. But the liquid that comes out, you may not use that oil for Moed Shabbos, because that oil is a gzera that we say that we allow a person to use the liquid that flows out on Shabbos, and he might come to do the actual malacha on Shabbos. So there you have it's mutter to do so, to do it, but you may not have the benefit of what comes out of it on Shabbos because of the zera. And therefore, since you may not use that liquid, then also we say that you may not, that liquid becomes mukta and cannot be moved on Shabbos either. On a more practical note of this halacha would be if a person would cut up a fruit on Shabbos and liquid comes out, and that liquid you want to eat. So the Gemara example of a derabbanan type of food is tutin verimoin. When we talk about food, fruits that are grown for the Jews, we talk about zeisivat nabim, and fruit that the Jews get used, but that's not the primary purpose. The Gemara always talks about tutin verimoin, strawberries and pomegranates. And we know that pomegranates in particular are very, very juicy, and if you cut a pomegranate in half, there's going to be a lot of juice that comes out. If you want to collect that juice and then drink it, since that was not the primary purpose of what you're doing, your primary purpose was to cut the fruit or whatever you're doing to the fruit because it's for the sake of the fruit. Now, liquid came out at the same time, so then that would be permissible to drink that fruit, that juice. Another example of that is people who eat grapefruit on Shabbos, and you slice the grapefruit in half, and then you slice the individual pieces inside, and then you scoop it out with a spoon. And as you know, grapefruit is a very liquidy fruit, and when you eat, there's going to be a lot of liquid, there's going to be a lot of juice at the inside the shell of the grapefruit, or perhaps spilled over onto your plate. Can you drink up that juice on Shabbos? And according to what we're saying, one may. If you see someone being machmir, the reason for that would be is because there are those who hold that certain citrus fruit are grown for their liquids and not grown for eating. The fact that we eat them is just the minor, is the secondary usage and not the primary usage, and therefore there are people who are machmir today to say that a grapefruit is considered something which is grown for liquid and therefore gets the same thing as grapes. And therefore, the liquid that comes out of the grape should not be drunk on Shabbos. It reminds me of a shiur that I once attended in many, many years ago in a koilo. And a rabbi came to speak, and he said, "I was once by my son-in-law, and he."